clause is freaking me out a little bit, but anyway. My spirit is amped up this morning, so I'm going to try to amp it back down a little bit so I can communicate what I need to say here. It's okay. You'll understand here in a minute, but I'm excited for this. Been excited for a while. Last week, we talked about... Man, that's loud. Is it loud out there? No? Last week, we talked about being supernaturally natural, about, you know, essentially going to heaven, receiving things from God, letting it reveal things to us, change us, you know, make us more like Him. Today we spin that and we talk about being naturally supernatural. And so what I want to do, just by way of review, is to contrast these things again. So supernaturally natural, going to heaven, naturally supernatural, heaven coming to us and through us. That is what we talked about last week versus what we're going to do today. It's up versus out. We go to heaven. Heaven comes to us. It's being in Christ versus Christ in us. It's receiving from God versus giving of God. Does that make sense? Okay. Because it's, I mean, you can kind of overanalyze that, and it kind of is like a two-way street both ways. But anyway, I'm trying to make a point that a relationship up is important and a relationship out is important. If we can't go up, we got nothing to go out with. And, you know, I'll get my clicker out. I haven't used the clicker yet. Craig told me if this didn't work, Mike, is because you were playing solitaire. Is that true? Maybe you could advance me, sir. Probably if I hit this 10 times, it's going to go 10 slides. Hey, something happened. That'll work. Okay. So again, talking about naturally supernatural, I'm giving it a subtitle here of Kingdom Evangelism today. And naturally supernatural is out. And when you think about, when I think about being naturally supernatural and going out, it's in the context of outreach, it's in the context of evangelism, it's in the context of mercy, showing mercy to people, it's in the context of advocating social justice. You know, those are some buzzwords that come across my mind when I think about this. And so I want to set the stage a little bit. And first, let's talk about evangelism. I borrowed from Craig's work through the Growth Journey, book number 3, where he talks about evangelism. Evangelism is one of Jesus' gifts from Ephesians 4. It's to the church and one of the 5 offices. And he's got a quote in there. I'm going to quote him verbatim here. He's not here, so we can take all kinds of liberties. Unless all 5 offices are present, Christians will not be balanced. Okay, I know that anybody that's been a part of this church for any length of time knows the plight of the office of evangelist in our church. And that's neither here nor there. The fact is that we're all evangelists in some capacity. And to the extent that we express that is the extent to which we are balanced as people and as a church. And so that's kind of my contention coming at you this morning. They're called preachers of the good news. And I love to ask this question. Is the good news that you're going to hell unless you repent? Or is the good news that Jesus loves you, and if you'll accept that, He can change your life? Because a lot of people get that mixed up. The main purpose is to bring unity between unbelievers and God. Not distance, not separation, not judgment, not condemnation. Unity between non-believers and God. Introducing them into the kingdom. And I say introducing them to the kingdom. There's a difference there. You introduce somebody to the kingdom, and that's what softens them. That's what, you know, allows that light to percolate down into their soul and helps them to kind of reach out and grab the kingdom for themselves. So that's a little blurb on evangelism, on mercy. It's one of the Father's gifts from Romans 12. And it's kind of a motivation for outward ministry. Usually if you find somebody that's real involved in meeting people's needs or outreach type evangelism, they're driven by a passionate gift of mercy. They just want to help people. They want to see people become more than they are. So I thought it would be interesting, and it was interesting, when you look at the definition of mercy: compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender or someone subject to one's power. So people that don't believe are subject to a power that we have called love. And that's, you know, if you stew on that for a minute, it's like love is a powerful force. You know, love is what keeps husband and wife together. It's what creates families. It's God is love. So we have a power within us through the Holy Spirit, through our relationship with the Father God and His love, that moves people, that affects people, that can change people. It's a blessing that is an act of divine favor or compassion. It's compassionate treatment of those in distress. And so my attempt to describe mercy is the ability to feel with others, which is called empathy, versus feeling for others, which is called sympathy. Just like Jesus feels with us when He's in us, and just like we feel with Him when we're in Him. And I hearken back to the vision that I shared with y'all last week about, you know, being whipped with Jesus and feeling that pain. When you're feeling somebody's pain with them, that's empathy. And that is it's a really powerful concept. I didn't put this in here, but a few weeks ago I showed a TED Talk from, I think it's Brené Brown. Is that how you say her name? If this interests you, go look up her talk on empathy. It's fascinating. I didn't want to take the time to play it this morning because I got a full boat already. But it really drives home the difference, and it really drives home the power of empathy versus merely sympathizing with someone. And from a few weeks ago, you may or may not remember this. Being naturally supernatural, being evangelistic, being merciful, is digging that ditch that I talked about whenever it was a while ago. You're clawing to get to somebody because you love that person and you empathize with their situation, and you're doing your best to figure out a way to let some water flow from heaven into their life. Okay, we did it. A little promotional moment. These next points came from this book. This book is awesome. If you are interested in evangelism at all, it's called Street Level Prayer by Todd Volker. And I've never really read a book. I've never read that many books on evangelism. Didn't really know I was that interested in it. But when I read this book, you know, his style, his heart, and it's really an instruction manual. But his style and his heart just kind of fit me like a glove. And so I'm gonna review these points here with you, and we'll see how it fits y'all. So again, we're being naturally supernatural. We're in our minds, we're thinking about going out to people, meeting needs, ministering, evangelizing, being merciful. That's all based on love. I know why Sean had to stop today and go back to that chorus, because the last line of that chorus said, "Lead us in your love to those around us." I mean, come on. Because in 1 Corinthians 13 it says we can have all the power in the world, but if we don't have love, we are a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Who cares, right? A key way to show love is to be emotionally present. To receive people where they are, to listen well, to demonstrate grace and empathy, and finally, to pray in a relational manner. And we're going to get more into this, but that's a full statement, and if you can just visualize in your mind going up to somebody, you know, can we do that? Can we receive them where they are? No matter what kind of problem they got or what kind of sin they may be living in. Can we listen to them? Like, listen to hear them tell us about them instead of us listening so that we have a chance to hurry up and respond and tell them what's wrong with them and fix them. And you're going to find today that I'm using both ends of the spectrum to illustrate the point, so please don't get offended by that. The opposite of love is called manipulation. It's trying to fix the person. It's using phrases like, you need to, or you should. And again, I don't want to be misunderstood here. Some people need some correction, but typically it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. And so that's a great place to start. And then as you develop a relationship with that person and they begin to trust you, you can start leaning into some corrective advice. Let's say it that way. So the goal is for the person, when we're going out, the goal is for the person to encounter the love of God. Again, this is not approving of negative behavior. It's just trusting that God is big enough that if you can open the gate through love to somebody, that He's big enough to come in there and clean up their mess. And that it's not necessarily our job with our first encounter with somebody to fix every problem that they have. Our job is to love them, receive them where they're at. I better stop when we get too far down my list. I guess I already did. It's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. An evangelistic encounter should be focused around the love of God. And that should be the focus of our prayers for that person. So in this book, one of the things that he said in here that struck me is when he prays for people, he might mention the love of God 6 times in a 30-second prayer because his experience has shown him that that's what opens the gate. And so there may be other things mixed in there with that. Lord, I know that you love this person and that you want to heal their back if they told you they have a bad back. And because you love them, Lord, we know that you're faithful to do that. Help them to receive your love and your healing right now. Something like that. Because when you open the door through love, the kingdom of God has the opportunity to show up. Because that's what breaks down the barrier. It's like I don't even know how to describe it. It's like an aura. It's like a secret weapon, like an X-ray kind of a thing. You know, if you're really in love, walking in love, people can sense that. You know, it's like they've got a homing device in their heart that needs love, that needs God. God is love. They need both of them. And without even realizing what's happening, You're emitting that, and they're receiving it, and it's softening things, it's breaking things down. And what it does is it causes the oil of gladness to begin to flow as joy into that person's life. And what a great way to have an encounter with somebody, you know? Mike, can you forward me, buddy? I'm just going to lean on you. Is that okay? Okay. Yeah, we're good. I'm going to circle back to this towards the end, but as I was considering all these things and praying to God, you know, help me understand this. Help me. I got to have a plan. I got to have some kind of framework to hang all this on because it sounds all mushy and lovey and just don't know. Just help me. This is what he gave me. So that, I guess this is his work. We got two continuums up here. The up and down is love versus manipulation. The side to side is absence versus presence. And what I mean by absence and presence is being emotionally present. or emotionally absent from an encounter with somebody. Go ahead, Mike. So the next couple slides, I want to look at each continuum in a little more detail and see what you all think about it. Love in an encounter with somebody, in an evangelistic encounter with somebody, is a genuine desire to pass on the unconditional love, acceptance, and pieces of the kingdom that we have personally received from God. Because we all receive different things from God's kingdom. We should all receive His love. We should all receive His acceptance. We should all receive our identity from His kingdom. And I know this is cliche, but it's legitimate. You can't give what you don't have. And so you can go out there with the best of intentions on something, but if you've never had a personal experience with God in that area, then it can only take you so far. And God's good, and He can use... I'm not here to say that He can't use you in that area, but I am here to say that when you've had an experience with God in an area, it's your testimony. He's turned your weakness into a strength, and you're able to break through to people a whole lot better. Love is the gift to be given. So you're out there in an evangelistic encounter with somebody, and you're trying to give them the gift of love. If they choose not to receive it, that's okay. You know, your love for that person remains intact, and there's a healthy end to that dialogue. You know, they say no thank you, well, be blessed and have a great day. And love remains. You can't make people receive what you're given. So we contrast love with manipulation, coercion, same thing. It's kind of disingenuous, really. It's a desire to force our views and to kind of threaten people with consequences. You know, you need to do this or you're going there, kind of language. When we try to force our love onto someone who is not ready to accept it, it's no longer a gift. Now, I'm going to use a little illustration here. Guys, how many of you have had your wife really, really upset with you? Yeah. Now, that's, I don't need a show of hands, but what? Should have said that first. Moving on. When your wife's really upset with you, and you try to be affectionate towards her, how's that usually work out? I mean, it's kind of creepy, isn't it? And so I use the guys as an example, but it could go the other way just as easily. But does that drive the point home? It's like if you're upset with somebody, or you're not in love with somebody, and they're trying to force it on you, man, that's like, I don't even know how to describe that. I hope you get the picture I'm trying to paint. It can also be that our love tank, quote, love tank, you know, the love that we get from God, the cup that runneth over, however you want to call it, is less than full. And we're trying to force ministry with the wrong motives. Because if we're out there trying to love people, but we're not really feeling it, it's different than if you're fully loaded with God's love and your heart's breaking for that person. As Sean's... little child in the dirt here today, right? Jesus over here taking His time, loves that person, is willing to take the time to approach gently, to not go too far. Makes sense. Go ahead, Mike. So that was love and manipulation, presence and absence. Presence is our ability to connect with God and another person naturally and comfortably. Because being supernaturally natural, we've got a connection with God that we're stewarding by ourselves, you know, all the time. It's there all the time. As we practice that, it's kind of second nature, right? And that's like the ultimate, is when you can show up and talk with somebody and you're already loaded because your connection with God is mature, fully developed, not necessarily perfect, but in good working order. naturally and comfortably. That's a... I don't think it matters who you are. When you're engaging with other people in love, that's just uncomfortable. You know? Because it's like... How do I describe it? It's like dating. You know, you were in love with your girlfriend that eventually came your wife or whatever, but I mean, not much at all, but I was a little nervous when I got around Hillary at first. I mean, yeah, I better stop there too. And, you know, it's like, it's a special connection, and there's all kinds of baggage that goes into it, especially when you're going to talk about the love of God, you know. So between the fact that it's kind of a vulnerable place and the fact that there's a lot of baggage associated with even the word evangelism, or, you know, God loves you, to people who have been hearing that for their whole life but have never felt it, it just creates kind of a situation ripe for tension. But being present, you're fully engaged in the moment. You know, you're out there to show people God's love. And if they come up to you and, you know, they're pouring their heart out to you, if it's going right, that's what they're doing. You know, they have a need, we're there to meet it. And so they're being vulnerable, and if you're halfway engaged, you're just like everybody else. I'm out of here. Just as an example. It's having comfort with who we are, which comes from our upward relationship with God. And what me and God, I know it's grammatically correct to say God and I, but I like me and God better. It's what me and God have to give. We're comfortable with what we have to give to this other person. Okay, the contrast is being absent. And it's, you know, basically the inability to stay connected with God and another person. Partially engaged or disengaged from the moment. Awkwardness caused by, I just put fear. I think that's kind of an all-encompassing thing there. But I think at its root, you know, most of the awkwardness is caused by, well, what if they reject me? What if I pray for this person and they don't get healed? You name it. Okay, Mike. So we've talked about both continuums, and now we get to summarize a little bit. The love continuum, to me, is an issue of the heart. You know, we're in control of our hearts. We're stepping into kingdom kingdom evangelism, we will mature our hearts as we uncover areas that need to be renewed. And then that's one thing I definitely want to get across this morning, is you don't have to be off the chart on the love spectrum to do this. What you do have to be is, when you're engaged in it and you see an issue of your heart that comes to the surface through being with these people, then we have to be mature enough to deal with that and bring it to God and say, God, I know I wasn't expecting this, but here's this issue that's surfaced in my interaction with person X over here. You know, please heal that. You know, please fill that spot so that when I go out there next time, I can lead this person to you, as an example. And the presence continuum is an issue of experience. At least that's my contention. We can practice being emotionally present. You know, some people are gifted at it. There's no question about that. But even if you're not gifted, even if it's not what you like, you can improve on being emotionally present just by practicing. And what happens is, when we encounter the fear that comes on us, because it's awkward, because we're afraid of failure or rejection, whatever the case may be, we have a choice. We can let love overpower it and keep moving forward. Or we can shut down and pull back from the exchange. And this last bullet here, I think, is so important. Being present requires us to control our emotions. It doesn't require us to ignore our emotions. Because this allows us to have a kingdom response to somebody, to what is going on with somebody, instead of an emotional reaction. Because, you know, you're engaged with somebody in a outward type, I want to show this person the love of Jesus. And let's just say the wall breaks down. You know, let's go this route first. The wall breaks down, and they start crying, and they're being really vulnerable. You know, that should break our hearts. When it does, you know, we can't become a puddle of blubber necessarily, even though that is truly feeling with the person and empathizing with the person. What we're called to do is to recognize that as the Lord telling you that, yeah, you know, this is the heart of the issue. You know, you're on it. You have my heart for this person. Stay in control and use what I've taught you. You know, listen to the Holy Spirit for the word that I need to give you to fill that place or to touch that place, to heal that place, instead of just being 100% engaged in emotion with the person. Does that make sense? Because I guess the other extreme is you're talking to somebody who has a need, and let's say that they have a demonic spirit attached to it, and let's say that manifests itself. And I'm just using this to illustrate the point. You know, some people, deliverance is shouting real loud at the demon, telling it to go away. That's totally unnecessary, and it's totally distracting in some cases. I'm not saying that across the board. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to paint the picture that that can shut somebody down. When we go into, how do I say this without being abrasive? Religious mode, you know, where we start using the big words and our volume rises and we're talking at the person or at the problem and we forget that there's a real live person there that's opened their heart to us, that needs something from us, and we just shut it down because our emotions rose up. And it's not, those emotions are signals from God. And when we're able to harness those signals, stay connected, you know, that's when the power flows. All right, Mike. So let's go around the board here with these. Let's start in the upper right. We're in love. We have God's love on us, in us. We're ready to let it out. We're fully present. You know, we've learned to control our emotions. We genuinely want to be talking with this person. That's when we have the opportunity to make the biggest impact. Maximum kingdom effectiveness. And I like to give food analogies. So we're feeding people's stomachs and their souls. You know, we just pretend this is like a food bank or something. So they're getting something physical from us, which is usually always a part of a good evangelistic ministry. And they're getting something spiritual from us. Let's go to the upper left, where our heart's in the right place, but for whatever reason, we're emotionally detached. For whatever reason. It could be 100 reasons. Then it's kind of a nice service to people. You know, it's like you're still doing something good and you're meeting a need. There's no doubt. But not having that soul connection with somebody kind of limits what you can do. And so the effects of the kingdom will be variable. You know, God's big enough to power through our shortcomings and things like that, so we're not going to put him in a box there. And I liken it to defeating the stomach, not the soul. You know, you're still meeting a physical need, but there's more there that could be accomplished if we could be more present. If we go to the lower right, we're fully present emotionally, but we're lacking love to some degree. you know, it's, when I think about this, for me, it's like, I don't think that lacking love, having a bad day, needs to be the end of our ability to get out there and do some of this stuff. But we do need to recognize it. We'll touch more on this on the next slide. But we're emotionally present. We're somewhere short of walking in full love. And it's kind of a friendly social interaction. You know, it's that you're present with them. You want to hear about their stuff. But God, you're might be out of tune with God, whatever the case may be. And the effect is not maximized because our love tank's not full. It's like giving somebody a partial meal. What they got might have been good, but they left hungry, you know. And then the lower left is just you totally absent. You don't have any love for people. It's kind of a disservice to people. There's not much kingdom effect going to come out of it, and nobody wants to eat what you're cooking. So, and I hope that this kind of illustrates the concept here. It's not rocket science. I'm not even sure those four things I put in there did the best job of describing it, but I knew I needed to paint a picture somehow. And so that's what I chose to do. And we're going to get out of here early again today, because we're going to the last slide, Mike. As I was thinking about this whole thing, we can do this individually, and the principles are exactly the same. But I truly believe that teamwork is kind of the essence of how to do this maximum effect. Because we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. Some of us are really good at carrying the love of Christ with us and being able to go to that place where we look at somebody just like he would and our heart breaks for whatever's breaking his because of what's going on in their life. And that's a wonderful thing. And some of us are just more outgoing, are more able to reside in the moment with people, are able to steward that connection with God and control our emotions and receive from him and give. That's a lot going on in your mind if you've never been there before. Because you got one foot in heaven and one foot on earth, or one ear in heaven and one ear on earth. You're listening to God and you're listening to the person. And it's a skill. But at the end of the day, who knows what synergism is? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So when we function as a team and we bring our different gifts to the table and we realize, today, I'm having a bad day. I'm not really loving anybody today. But I might still be able to hear from God. I might still be able to be emotionally present with that person. And so somebody else brings the love and I bring the engagement. And it's full again. You know, we're in that upper right quadrant moving forward. And so it's not just love and presence. There's many gifts out there. You know, there's all of the Father's gifts, service, mercy, all have a part to play when you're in society at large. And so being able to know what so-and-so is good at, if there's three people out doing this, we all know what each other's bent is. When somebody shows up that has need X and somebody's good at ministering to need X, hey, Brian, why don't you come up here for a second? This person has shared this with me and we'd just like to invite you to pray. And you're naturally playing to somebody's strength and you're naturally engaged with the person, but you're in control of what's going on. The other thing is that we all respond to fear or whatever other negative stimulus you want to plug in. We all respond differently to that. And, you know, sometimes things will be going great and something will happen and it'll throw us off our rocker like instantly, like, wow, what just happened here? And it might be, you know, one of those issues of our heart that I mentioned a while ago got uncovered and set us off balance. And we're unsure of what to do at this point. And that confusion makes the experience kind of awkward. But if you're in a team, somebody can save the day. Somebody can step in there because they see that, oh, hey, this is something just happened here. Okay, I'm going to deal with this. Step in, fill the gap, keep love at the front, be natural about it, and it's all good. The other thing is you can debrief from it and, you know, say that you got tongue-tied with somebody. And, you know, it became awkward and they didn't get anything and you weren't able to give everything. That's okay. Sometimes it's just nice to have a pat on the back that says, you know, hang in there. We're all people. You know, we're not perfect. And so there's that aspect of it. And I'm fairly certain that I know that working with others, watching other people flow in their gifts, it strengthens us, you know? I mean, we get strengthened as we practice what we're doing, but when you see somebody, you know, fully in their element in what God has called them to do, you know, that draws that out of you. It shows you things that you'll be able to apply when that person's not there and a similar situation arises. But unless we're in the ditch together, digging towards somebody to let some water loose, then we don't really get a chance to hone in on, man, so-and-so's excellent in this situation. I want to go find some of those situations and be with him in those because I want to, I know it's God's heart, and I want to step into that. I want to step into that with that person, and the tide rises for everybody. And so finally, you know, we were designed to need each other's gifts. We are a body, and everybody has a part. And I think it's very applicable in an evangelistic setting to go out with a diverse group. So that's the meat of the presentation. I'm going to debrief here a little bit. I think that, I know for me, and I shared this last week, and I didn't put all this together to coerce or manipulate anybody into doing some evangelism. Trust me, that was not the point. But I think that God is calling some of us out. I know that he's calling me out, and I'm ready to go out. And there's just being in the same spirit, I think, is so important for this. I mean, it's like unity and uniformity, right? We don't want to be uniform because that's everybody being like so-and-so and trying to do it his way. And that's not what it's about. That's not a body. That's not playing to each other's strengths. That's trying to be like somebody else. I want to be like Jesus, but that's about the only person that I really want to emulate to that degree. And so being in the same spirit is critical when you're out doing this because if you're not in the same spirit in what you're doing, that's when the enemy has the opportunity to throw that awkwardness in there and break things down and keep them from being the full kingdom experience that it could have been if it were otherwise. So being in the same spirit, and I'm off the script now, but being consistent is a big deal. You know, we had some friends of ours over for supper last night, the church we used to go to in Ellijay, and they were telling us about the nursing home ministry that they do. And I was a part of this when we were going there, but two times a month, plus every fifth Sunday after church, and you got to understand their church would get over like 1:30, 2 o'clock. They'd have to be at the nursing home by 3 o'clock. And so it was either no lunch or a rush lunch. And you were there for 2 hours, maybe, playing music and praying for the people at the nursing homes. Long story short, it's a sacrifice. And they've been doing this for I don't know, probably I'm going to say 3 years. Steady. Every other week, every fifth Sunday, doing this thing. And what happened was, at one of the nursing homes, there was a lady there who was a nurse that absolutely was not feeling it when the church would come in there and break out the guitars and start singing with people. She would go to the other end of the building because she just wasn't having it. It riled her up, and she was out of there. Anyway, at some point, I'm not sure the timing, doesn't really matter. At some point, this lady was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And she's in this nurse. She's in the hospital. And the lady that was really over the nursing home ministry at this church, super awesome lady, was a nurse at the hospital. And she recognized, her name was TJ, the lady with cancer recognized TJ at this moment in her life when she was absolutely freaked out, absolutely did not know which end was up, you know, was like ultra wanted her family there with her all the time, didn't want to be alone because she was afraid to die. And so she sees TJ, and the kingdom just happened, man. She recognized the peace that TJ carried. TJ comes into the room, talks with her, and by the end of the conversation, the lady's like, okay, family, y'all can go home. I'm going to be okay tonight because TJ's here. And anyway, by the time that she passed on, whatever it was, a couple weeks later, she had received the Lord, and so had her daughter. And the point is, I mean, man, those stories just mess you up, but is that not worth a couple days a week? A couple hours a day? You know, really, at the end of the day, what's more important than that? And so it's just about being consistent. You know, for me, I don't really want to do anything unless I can be consistent. It's not that I won't go do other stuff, because there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that what the Lord is saying to me is, you know, let's go find a place. Let's go find a spot somewhere. I don't even know where. You know, I'm the new guy in town. I need some counsel from people on where to go. But when we go there, let's hang with it until the Lord says move. And let's make sure He says, this is where we're supposed to go. Because I want to be like Moses in the Old Testament, where it's like, Lord, if you're not coming with me, I don't want to go. You know, if you're not going to be fully there, if you're not telling us that this is the spot, then, you know, we should probably just stay home. So being consistent, being in the same spirit, and being able to have experiences together, grow together, meet needs in the community together. I am convinced that locking arms on these things is what elevates the body of Christ. It makes us more like Him. But we can get to a place on our own, there's no doubt. But He's designed us to live in community with people. Make me go back in time to some previous messages here. And we need each other. We need each other's gifts. And to really get down in the ditch with somebody, to me, I can't think of anything more fun. I mean, it excites me, and I don't know why. But I want to know how you all flow. You don't really find out until you're on the battlefield with somebody. I mean, you have an idea, but when you get out there and battle with somebody, and you know you got each other's back, it draws the best out, and it's good. I think one other aspect of this is, I think, as we understand it, you know, if we all agree with these points, and we all agree that love is the main thing, and we all agree that, you know, staying engaged with people is important, and controlling our emotions is important, I think that this idea is going to appeal to a lot of people. You know, and I didn't even realize this until this morning, but there's a regional component to this as we move forward with other churches in the region to share the good news, and to be able to explain this, to be able to articulate this style, even though it may be way different from their style. They may be the loud type. But just being able to kind of explain this in a way that makes sense to people, so that when we lock arms with these people, we're in the same spirit. And so I don't know really how to land the plane today. I don't really know why I'm so passionate about this, but I just love this. It's like been burning in me for a long time. I think it finally got outlet. But anyway, let's maybe just be still for a minute and see, you know, if God gives us any pieces of the puzzle. Maybe if it's not for you, maybe it's just some direction on where to take this thing as we, whoever is interested, tries to pour ourselves out of these doors out there into some people that have needs. So Lord, I just pray that you would just open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, to anything that you want to show us this morning, God. I think you just, in that we've got a few generations in here, and I think that's part of his plan too, is that we go from this size to this size with this, and I'm gonna look at the, what I call the young people. I hate saying that, it makes me feel old, but you know, Joseph, Aaron, Ruby, Victoria, Max, Kate, Claire, Desiree. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down this morning? Okay. Because, man, this makes me emotional. Is it? I wish that I knew then, you know, way back when, in 1990, what I know now in terms of this stuff. Because in high school, I was just a jerk. I mean, that's the facts, the cold, hard facts. It might be hard to believe that now, but it is the truth. I'm telling you. And, you know, along with that, there's a lot of regrets that I have from that period in my life that, I mean, they're kind of painful, if I'm being honest about it. And so to take this and to be able to look at my classmates and the people that I'm in whatever social relationship with, like Jesus looks at them, and to have that maturity, man, at like 13, 14, 15, 16, whatever age, that's such a big deal. And especially if you're able to, you know, like I said, control your emotions and bring God to people. People want it. You know, I think that teenagers, young adults, want to pretend like they don't need God. But they're some of the easiest people. Like once the love breaks through, they don't have a lot of baggage. You know, they're still somewhat young, and you can pierce through that in a second just by being kind. You know what I mean? And that, like we said earlier, it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. But anyway, I want y'all to know that everybody gets to play, to use another Vineyard slogan. And y'all are a huge part of what needs to come forth. And that's, I think that's the Lord saying that. I can open it up if anybody has anything that the Lord gave them or like to add on to anything I've been saying. That's good. Anybody else got anything? I'm going to give a little practical, I'll call it vision casting for lack of a better word. But what I do not want, and I don't think God wants, is for us all to have a emotional reaction this morning. I think he wants us to have a natural response to what you've heard and what, you know, what the Lord has shown me to do about doing some sort of outreach. Practically, I don't know where. You know, I'm the guy from New York and Louisiana. I would like for people that have an interest to pray about where we might go. You know, where's the need? Where's the place or places that we could be consistent at to do this? And maybe next week, practically, I'll bring some kind of a sign-up sheet for people that are interested. And maybe we'll have like a low-key meeting at some point in the future on deciding where. A little debrief on some of the things we talked about today. But it needs to be natural. It doesn't need to be forced. And I don't want to force anybody to do anything. That's not the point. But if God's pricked your heart like you pricked mine, and you have a desire to go, then we're gonna bear down on this. We're gonna seek the Lord on where. We'll set a schedule for who, and we know what. We want to go show some people some love. And so that's about it. God, I thank you for being who you are. I thank you that you love every person in this region, Lord, and that you want us to go out and to give that away. And so, Lord, I just pray that this week, as we go through the week, Lord, you bring these things back to our recollection, that you'll show us where, you'll show us who, how, when, what, all of it, Lord, you'll show us. Because truly, Lord, we don't want to go if you're not coming with us. But we know your heart's for the people out there, and so that's where you're calling us. So I pray that you bless everybody here in Jesus' name, God, and thank you for all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.